Hello, and welcome to Diabetes Dialogue, technology, therapeutics, and real-world perspectives. Diabetes Dialogue is a monthly podcast hosted by myself, Diana Isaacs, and Natalie Bellini, providing a regular news roundup of the latest clinically applicable insights across diabetes and metabolic diseases, with a focus on leveraging technology to improve care. Produced by HCP Live Endocrinology, the audio version of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, with a video version available only on hcplive.com. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we are at the ATTD conference in Berlin, Germany, and we have another exciting episode where we are interviewing superstars at this conference while we are all here in Germany.
Hi, it's great to be here. I'd like to introduce our guests for this podcast, Marissa Towne and Renza Shabilia. Renza, do you want to start and tell us a little bit about your background and why you're here?
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, I'm Renza Shabilia from Melbourne, Australia. I always win the I travel the furthest to a conference award. I've lived with type 1 diabetes for almost 25 years. It's 25 years in April this year. And for the last 21 years, I've been working in diabetes organisations in advocacy and policy, and mostly though community engagement. And that's sort of like a big thing for me, is working with people with diabetes. And I'm not the tattooing type, but if I was, I would have a tattoo that says nothing about us without us, because I really believe that people with diabetes, it's not that we should be part of the conversation, we are the conversation. So I very much believe in co-design, co-development, co-dissemination, co-delivery, the whole shebang. People with diabetes should be front and centre. So that's why I'm here.
So you're not a clinician?
I'm not a clinician.
And tell us a little bit about how ATTD has created space for patients enmeshed into their conference.
Yeah, and I think we really need to credit ATTD for doing that. So there is an incredible movement, an organisation called DDoC, which is a community that offers scholarships to people with diabetes to come to conferences. So there are 50 scholarship holders at ATTD, 25 are virtual and 25 are here on the ground, and they're from across Europe, they're from Australia, from the US, and from Africa as well. So we've really made sure that there is some diversity here. We're not only seeing and hearing from the same people. And so ATTD also has a spot on the scientific program, which is the DDoC symposium. It was held on the first day, where we heard from some, people doing some really incredible things in their communities.
Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome. Marissa, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Marissa Towne. I have lived with type 1 for 33 years now. And I learned very young how important it was to have support and how much diabetes educators really made a difference in my life with diabetes. Actually, Natalie was one of my diabetes educators when I was a teenager, and she's still just as young. And I decided to pursue a career in nursing and become a clinical diabetes care and education specialist. That's the words now. And I have worked in clinics, I've worked in industry, and I am most recently working in a nonprofit and a little bit in academia with a project, ECHO, at Stanford, which helps teach primary care docs how to prescribe CGM, how to interpret CGM so that they can get technology to patients. Because most people with type 1 in the US actually see primary care docs. They're not seeing endocrinologists because there aren't enough, and so we need to make sure that we give, you know, the frontline folks the information that they need to help people like us.
Wow, that's incredible. And do you have a talk at
yes,
the conference?
I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, so I'm actually really excited and honored that I was asked to speak at ATTD. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be doing a talk about how people with diabetes choose diabetes technologies, which was a really fun topic. And, you know, of course, my first slide is the most important, and I'll spoil it, is the most important thing is that we are individuals. It's not like something that works for, you know, Renza or for you, Natalie, would work for me. Like, we have to be able to pick what works best for us in our lifestyle. And sometimes we do things like right now I'm on a pup break and I'm doing MDI because I have a lot of scar tissue and I just needed, a break. I needed some bolus or basal in the background. And, you know, it's not a one size fits all. And like Renza said, we as a healthcare professionals, it is our job to help raise the voices of people with diabetes and ask them what they want. Like, that's really all that we want. Mm-hmm. It's just our docs, our nurse practitioners, our whoever, to say, what can I do for you?
Yeah, right? That's the best opening question, really, isn't it?
So yeah. I think that's really interesting because Diana and I met at a conference, right, and realized that we practice very similarly. So if you said to me, I'm on an insulin pump, I heard that there is something new, my first thing is to pull everything out and say, here you go, I want to offer open choice. I would never want to say to a patient, you must get this because I'm most comfortable with it, because that doesn't mean you are. I've had patients pick pumps because they like the color, or they like that the screen does this or doesn't do that, or I can wear it here, we have to allow that. And
not only that, but like I feel like we have an obligation to stay up to date on what's out there, so
yes,
we can offer those choices. Because too often people, they're doing the same thing, not because they want to or it's because it's the best, it's because they haven't heard about anything else, no one's brought it to their attention. So I think that's why this is such an important meeting.
Right, let's try something new. You sound frustrated, I hear your frustration. Do you want to talk about what else is available since the last time you were here?
Yeah.
Right, that's a...
Right, and now that technology is changing so rapidly, I mean, it's really important to have conferences like this. And it's not, you know, ADA is great, but it's huge, and there's so much to focus on at that conference. Whereas here, I feel like it's really focused on technology, but not just how the technology works, but how it affects people's lives.
Yes.
You know, the added burden that technology can bring.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that that's actually one of the reasons I love ATTD so much, is because there, you know, as long as I've been coming, there is that focus on the psychosocial aspects of it. And it's not enough just to give somebody the latest, shiniest new piece of kit and say, off you go. Even with the best education, there is so much more behind it, and that is around how does it make you feel? Are you able to use it in a way that is not adding so much burden that you just want to curl up in a ball and cry? Because I've certainly been there with technology. There have been moments where the box has promised me that it's going to make things easier, but really that's the last thing it's done. It's just added more burden to what is already such a burdensome condition.
Can you talk to us a little bit about how, in the advocacy that you both do, how you dealt with COVID and the shutting down of travel and of options too? Because we did ADA online, the ATTD last year was delayed twice just because of COVID, right? Can you talk a little bit about how you both individually and together kept up patient advocacy and education and support when you couldn't meet?
I feel that in some ways the diabetes community was better prepared than a lot of other people, because so much of what we do in terms of support was already online. You know, it for so many people it was, well, my support, so much of that is online. That's how I connect and how I reach people and how I ask questions and how I talk about the lousy diabetes days and the victorious diabetes days. And so there were already so many channels existing that meant that we didn't need to start from scratch and build something. But it also meant that there was incredible opportunity for bringing people to conferences, because suddenly all of those barriers around cost and dealing with visas, and so, you know, for example, with DDoC, we suddenly were able to have advocates from Africa and from Southeast Asia be part of our DDoC Voices program, whereas before it just would have been impossible.
Right.
And so we were reaching these incredible advocates who were doing these amazing things in their communities, in their countries, that we hadn't necessarily heard from, and suddenly they were part of this network that they otherwise may not have been. So there was, let's just be clear, there was nothing good about COVID. I'm
right.
absolutely not saying that, but it did form some real opportunities for the community to grow. But that initial step, sort of, I feel like, well, everybody was scrambling to how do we do a Zoom, you know, healthcare professional consultation?
Right.
We were like, we already do this. This is great.
Right.
We already know how to connect and reach each other. Yeah.
Yeah, and for us, so I work, my primary job is with Children with Diabetes, which is a nonprofit that focuses on care, education, and support for families living with diabetes, and empowerment, I would add. And what we did, which was really great, was we switched things to virtual. And it was, you know, it was great because it's sort of been in the back of our minds, you know, how do we get, because what we do is we have conferences for families and people living with diabetes. And actually, in the last few years, it's been a shift because, you know, the organization was originally called Children with Diabetes, but we have more adults that come to our conferences called Friends for Life than children at this point. And I think, you know, if you saw, I believe there was a slide yesterday that, I think it was Chantal, that showed how more diagnoses are occurring later in life. And that's really reflective of what we're seeing in the, you know, conferences for families with diabetes scenario. But, you know, we wanted to be able to offer people programming who couldn't afford to travel to come to conferences. And we do sponsorship or scholarships for families, but, you know, we can't get everybody there, right? So switching to virtual was really an incredible opportunity for everyone to have access to speakers that come to this conference, like Bruce Buckingham, like, you know, all of these people who are experts in their fields, Corey Hood, and for free, online, in the comfort of their own home. They were recorded. We have a ton of stuff on our YouTube channel now. And it really was just a beautiful thing to be able to create access. And we ended up having, the year that Friends for Life Orlando was virtual, 5,000 people signed up, which is about 2.5 times what we typically see in person. And it was just, it was phenomenal. And what we've done since then is we keep streaming, or at least recording, one session per time slot so that we keep providing content, educational, psychosocial, you know, education to people who can't come. We also did some screenside chats for a while, and they were really fun. But, you know, at the end of COVID, I think we were all Zoomed out. Yeah. And so, you know, as we got back to the new reality that we are in, we sort of tapered down on those kinds of things. But we still have these MOFLs chats, these Moms of Friends for Life who have children with diabetes, or I mean, like my mom goes, and I'm a child, but
You're her child. Yes.
And so, and they get together every other Monday.
Amazing.
And it's consistent, and it's where they, you know, have their safe space to talk about things. And my friends with diabetes and I, we actually, at the beginning of the pandemic, did some Zooming just for fun. Like, we would do happy hours and, you know, play games or whatever other silly stuff just to talk about it. Because we were all scared, right, people with diabetes. You know, the original data that came out of the UK was really intimidating, right? It was really scary.
It was absolutely terrifying, and the way that it was then communicated in the media was frightening.
Yeah. It was, and then there wasn't a whole lot of follow-up for a while, right? And
for our listeners who might not be familiar, can you just describe, like, what that data from the UK showed, if it doesn't cause too much?
I mean, what it was, I think the first one that just was awful was about the rates, the number of people were dying who had diabetes. It was really high. I can't remember what the percentage was. But
oh, I do.
Oh,
So it was 1.5 times the mortality risk for type 2, and it was 3 times for type 1.
That's right.
That was the original data, and, you know, this is back before the vaccines. Mm-hmm. This is when they were trying, like, steroids and proning in the hospitals when people came in, and we knew. Yeah, I mean, we still don't know everything about this virus, right? That's just the truth. But at least now, you know, we're vaccinated, and you know, those who want to be are anyway. And we have Paxlovid. We have other ideas, other opportunities, and
that really does. It's one of those things where that's where that support system of find your people and have and help each other get through this fear, right? I mean, I think that's a big part of how do you deal with a chronic disease? How do you treat it? How do you think about it? That's the key, right? That's the key to living life well with diabetes.
So I'm curious what you recommend, because for people that are looking for support.
Right.
I mean, it seems like fortunately you're well connected, but like, yeah, I mean, I do work with adults, but it is more common that adults are being newly diagnosed with diabetes, type 1, well, lots of type 2, but type 1 as well. And or that people have had diabetes for a while but still have never developed a support system.
Right. They don't know anyone else with type 1.
Yeah.
They don't have any, you know, they've never brought their spouse to a meeting.
Right.
Or to an appointment. I don't want my wife here. I don't want my partner here. And it's like, wait a minute. You have this every day. So how do people find online support? Where do they go?
Well, I mean, a good starting point is often a diabetes organization. Because, you know, diabetes organizations, they have an online presence to begin with, and that's a good place to see, well, are there support groups? Are there face-to-face groups, or are there online groups, or, you know, the organization I was at until the end of last year, we used to do weekly or fortnightly Facebook Lives, and the great thing about that was that then there were these terrific conversations happening in the comments section, and people were connecting. So that's often a good place to start. But it can be really tough. It can be really hard. And I think, you know, it's been one of the things that I've always seen. There are so many opportunities. You know, if you're in at a diabetes clinic that runs, you know, once a week from this time to this time, and you happen to be seeing the same people, you know, there are real opportunities for waiting room conversations. And, you know, where I really saw that was when I was pregnant with my daughter. Was, you know, I was at a diabetes pregnancy clinic. I was going in every 3 weeks. It was the same women in there every 3 weeks, and we saw each other. And we saw, you know, bellies getting bigger and babies being born. And we did form these really incredible friendships and that are continuing now. My daughter's just turned 18, and, you know, I'm still friends with some of these women. That's where we met.
Right.
You know, I think there's this idea that peer support has to be really formalized, but it's any opportunity where you see or have the opportunity to meet another person with diabetes, that's where it can start. So it's thinking perhaps a little bit more broadly about what that is so that we can facilitate those sorts of encounters.
Yeah, and I think as, you know, as healthcare professionals, something that is an opportunity is things like shared medical appointments. And, you know, it's, I think there's even more opportunity to do that via telehealth now.
Right.
And that would be an incredible opportunity. And I was really fortunate in Ohio, one of my providers did shared medical appointments. So, you know, I got to go and see what it was like, learn how he set them up. Of course, there was pushback, you know, as there always is when you want to do something new. But it really gave people an opportunity to learn from each other and just feel that, you know, that camaraderie and that, oh yeah, you do that too, or that, you know, you have that experience. Another thing for people who are a little less extroverted, maybe, is, you know, finding Facebook groups and just lurking, right? Lurk and just to see what people are talking about, and, you know, maybe you'll find someone that you can connect with there. And, you know, hopefully your diabetes educators in your office, if you have them, or your endos, or whoever it is that you see, they may have connections to, you know, local groups in your area.
Yeah, I love it. I do. And are you both going to be at ADA?
I am not.
You are not. Okay.
I don't.
You don't know yet. Maybe.
No. So DDoC will be there.
Okay.
First time DDoC's coming to America.
So that's a big deal.
Which is exciting.
That is a
really exciting.
Deal. Right.
I've just started a new job, so I'm still trying to kind of work out what that's going to look like. So I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe not. Yeah. There will be other children with diabetes people there.
Right.
It's just, you know, I'm a mom too,
right?
And so I have to balance.
And I've got to come from Australia. So
that's
I'm
right.
Like,
you win so the longest award
to
today. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Yep,
you always win.
You too.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really nice to hear and to help our clinicians and our listeners to just remember that peer support is so important, right? That this is a big part of people who thrive with diabetes tend to have family and peer support. So we're really glad you came to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you both.
Awesome.